In the midst of high anxiety amongst traditional newspapers and broadcasters about the shift online and their disappearing business model, some of the new online players are building strong online-only news and entertainment media portals. Two brothers, Brian and Eamon Fallon, set up Daft.ie 15 years ago and since then have developed a number of online media products, including Journal.ie, which has become perhaps the strongest newcomer to the Irish media market. Brian Fallon, who's chief executive of Distilled Media, joins me now. Brian, can you start, first of all, by telling me a little bit of background about Distilled Media?
So I suppose the original Distilled company was Daft.ie, and that was started 15 years ago. You know, most people in the country now are aware of it, but when it was started, you know, it was a tiny little site that not many people used. And over the 10 to 15 year period that the internet really became used in Ireland, Daft became a brand that pretty much everyone knew. You know, following on from when we had Daft in a place where it was an established business, we started looking at other opportunities, and that was around 2008. And we invested in a company called Boards.ie, and since then started two new companies, one called the Journal.ie, which is an online-only news publication. It also has a number of other brands like the Score.ie for sport and DailyEdge.ie for entertainment. And we also spun Adverts.ie, a classifieds, person-to-person classifieds business, out of Boards.ie. And that's basically how we came to being in a place where there was four companies and we came up with the name Distilled Media.
Now tell me a bit about the Journal. Your background's clearly not news now, so you're coming at this...
No, so my background, I suppose, is trying to understand what will make a great web product. And around the time, I could see that, particularly in the US, there was a lot of online-only news organizations starting. And a lot of what they were doing was very compelling. I actually found myself, during my research, becoming addicted to reading these online-only news publications. And the reason being is that in the same way how, let's say, TV is different to radio and radio is different to print, online is different to print. And up until that point in Ireland, I think the news, the Irish news that you could get online was basically a replica of print news. And that's where the market opportunity came from. I felt, not from a journalism perspective, but actually from a consumer perspective, that there was a huge need in the market for a real online-only player and one that really took advantage of the medium to basically build the kind of product that it was possible.
And what sort of staff levels do you have?
So we're now 2.5 years in, and we just moved office actually because we ran out of space. We're pushing on about 30 people now, and that's primarily editorial staff. We put as much of our efforts and resources into content as possible, because we think that's really what makes the Journal stand apart, which is the content we produce.
And how big is your audience?
So on a daily basis, we probably reach about 160 to maybe 180,000 people. After 2.5 years, we're actually ecstatic with the reach that we've managed to build.
The traditional media would say that one of their strengths is trust with the consumers, that they know the brands and they have established their credentials. Is that a challenge for the likes of yourselves?
Well, so the Journal is part of an organisation called the Association of Online Publishers, where we'd sit with the likes of RT, the Irish Times, Independent, and other online players like Entertainment.ie. And as a body, I suppose our mission is to promote domestically produced content. We've undertaken a number of pieces of research, and what we found is that audience trust content more from domestically produced sites because they understand that it's targeted to them, and as a result they trust the advertising more also. So from a business perspective, we're trying to produce content that basically satisfies the audience more and the advertiser more than you might find on non-targeted international content.
And 12%, I think, of advertising is now online, so clearly that's a huge revenue stream.
Yeah, I think the digital sector is only going to grow more as an increasing percentage of people's time in any given week is spent online. I think when you look in any given week, you know, we've only got so much time to consume media, and digital is taking an increasing portion of that, particularly when you look at you know, how often people have their smartphones in their hands.
Now, we've been hearing on the programme here from TV3, from 4FM, from the Irish Times about the shift of advertising online. And one of the challenges for them is they still have the massive overheads required to run traditional media. You don't have those overheads, really.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't come from a background of journalism or, let's say, traditional media. I'm actually not quite sure what those overheads are, in that I've just never worked in an organisation like that. Again, we've just tried to do everything from scratch and learn the best way to do things online. And as a result, I think we've built a very efficient an organisation that we're really just geared up towards producing stuff that people like.
And what would you say to the charge that you are basically repackaging expensively produced journalism from the Irish Times, from the Irish Independent? We had the editor, we spoke to the editor, Stephen Ray, and he said, well, good journalism is expensive and you need the staff and you need the pedigree to be able to turn that out. You don't have that.
Well, I think our editor would definitely argue with you there. I mean, the Journal is a newsroom like any other newsroom, so it's not really a comparison that you can make. The Journal, you know, it's staffed with journalists from 6 a.m. until midnight every single day. We have an editor, deputy editor, sports editor. I mean, if you look at our newsroom, you'll see no difference really in terms of the look or makeup of how we work than any other newspaper. I think the differences come about in that the type of content we produce is not the content that you produce in newspapers and then simply copy onto a website. The type of content that we produce is 100% geared towards online. You know, the two kind of key trends that we're kind of riding in the Journal, I suppose, is social media and mobile.
So there is that perception that you rip off the newspapers.
You know, I've heard from others in journalistic circles that they don't understand how a newcomer can be so successful and so popular after a short period of time. And I've even heard the claim that our success is based on the backs of their work by, you know, they'll research something and then, you know, they'll say that we'll reference it without actually doing the work. And that's just entirely false. And I think that's nearly missing the point as to why the Journal is successful. The Journal is successful because we're producing the type of content that people want online, that people want on their smartphones, that people want on social media. And, you know, the newsroom in the Journal is a newsroom like any other. There's a team of close to 30 journalists working every single day of the week, producing content from 6 a.m. till the end of the day, sometimes till the early hours of the morning. We've a very dedicated team that, you know, if something's breaking in the middle of the night, like let's say the situation in Boston last week, the last person left the office at 6 a.m. You know, it's the same as any other kind of journalistic organisation. It's you're getting on the phones, you're talking to politicians, you're following up leads. But the key difference is that we're producing it for an online audience.
Do you actually send reporters out on stories? Would you have had somebody at the Abortion Act press conference on Wednesday morning?
We had someone at the Abortion Act. We had someone down in Galway last week for the Civita hearing. When it's required, we'll send someone to these hearings. And when it's content that people want to read about, we figure out the most cost-efficient way, like any other organisation, the most cost-efficient way of producing the content. And increasingly, because we now have the more readership, we're increasingly able to send journalists to physical locations.
Now, I know that online doesn't come under the remit of the Press Council. And when the minister was in with us a few weeks ago, he suggested that it might be possible to extend their powers to cover guys like yourselves. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, we've applied to become a member of the Press Council. We actually applied, I think, maybe 18 months ago. It's something that we're very interested in, and it's an ongoing process. The reason we'd like to be in the Press Council is simply because if you ask a Journal reader, I mean, is the Journal a newspaper? They'll look at you with, you know, question on the face. I mean, of course it is. And therefore, I think that a Journal reader should have the same protections, you know, reading the Journal as they would get reading any other newspaper. And if they have, you know, if they have an issue or if they're looking, you know, for recourse on you know, whatever it could be, that they should have the same routes available to them as if it was published anywhere else.
And what about audio and video? Are you planning to move more fully into AV channels, online content?
So a lot of our video content, which we would produce, would be basically clips that would be provided from other sources, even things like YouTube or Vimeo. We haven't produced a whole lot ourselves yet. I think we're a little bit too early in the digital conversion cycle for us to be kind of looking at something like that at the moment. And, you know, a lot of that is to do with even simple things like the speed of smartphones and stuff like that. I think maybe in five years, you'll see a lot more video and audio content produced pure digitally. But right now, it's not something that we're particularly looking into.
Do you have any idea of the average age of your audience?
Yeah, actually, we conducted a piece of research last year. And the key demographic in the Journal is 25 to 35. And nearly matching that is 35 to 40. So it was slightly older demographic than some people might have thought. I suppose the idea would be that, you know, heavy social media users and heavy smartphone users aren't necessarily teenagers on Facebook, but it's the, you know, the people who are likely to have smartphones are generally a little bit older, you know, urban. You could have said in the beginning, kind of working in certain industries, but now nearly everyone has a smartphone.
But do you think this suggests, I suppose, a move away from buying print newspapers amongst that demographic?
Interestingly, I've been thinking a lot about that question, and I actually don't think that the journal is even necessarily competing. I don't think that our number one competitor is newspapers. I think the journal, if you think about it in terms of how people use it, it's a digital product, and the key digital competitors are Facebook and Twitter. That basically we want, you know, the readers of the journal to spend as much time in any given day reading the journal on their phone or on their computer. And the key people that are taking those readers away from us at any given time are Facebook and Twitter. So we actually spend a lot more time thinking about them and thinking about, well, how do we get more Facebook readers or how do we get more Twitter readers? Because I think that's where we have the ability to grow. You know, people who buy newspapers, they buy newspapers. That's what they do. And I think I'm just including myself here, I think there's a large audience of people who now don't buy newspapers and never will. I'm definitely one of those people, simply because, you know, I grew up with having a phone in my pocket, and I've always been around computers, I suppose. So the internet is the place I go to for my news, and they're the audience that we're trying to satisfy.
So Brian, journal.ie is free. So tell me, how do you make money?
So it's free in that the content is available without you paying online, but it's certainly not free because, you know, in turn, like any other, you know, like this radio station that this has been broadcast on, you know, we bundle advertising with the content. So by, you know, agreeing to read your news on the journal, you're essentially entering into kind of a social contract with us where you agree to see the advertising that we put around the content. And our business model is simply to produce high quality domestic content that we can sell advertising around, so that, you know, custom kind of advertising solutions that aren't available elsewhere or that aren't available, you know, without kind of a long kind of creative process with the client. And given that, you know, the advertising based model works in so many other industries and mediums, and the fact that digital is growing so fast, we've strong belief that we can make it work in online.
That 12% that goes online, the 12% of advertising that goes online is worth 150 million. Obviously, if you can get a good slice of that, you're going to be very content.
Yeah, it's easy to say we'll get X percent. I think the better thing for us is just to concentrate month on month and increasing our sales and the offering that we give to advertisers, rather than just kind of aiming to get at a raw chunk of the market, kind of slowly but surely get there month by month.
But I think all research shows that consumers are more likely to trust advertising, targeted advertising they see on Irish sites.
And the journal is a member of an organisation called the AOP, which is the Association of Online Publishers. And we've just commissioned a piece of research which interestingly shows two key things. The first is that an Irish internet user is more likely to remember that they've even seen advertising when it was on a domestic Irish site. And the second thing is that not only are they more likely to remember it, but when they actually remember seeing an ad for, let's say, a brand that could be targeted at English audience or an Irish audience because you're on a UK site or people aren't quite sure where it's targeted, but even when they see an ad, they're 8 times more likely to think it's meant for them when they read it on an Irish site. So I think what that shows from an advertising perspective, that, I mean, you know, advertising was complicated enough when it was print. There were so many magazines, so many newspapers, so many options. Now, with the internet, you've got, because Irish eyeballs end up on international sites, you can pretty much advertise anywhere in the world. It just makes it so much more complicated. And quite often, you know, advertisers are enticed by cheap rates internationally to advertise there. But what this research shows that, you know, that might actually be the most cost-effective way to actually spend an entire advertising budget. And that's simply because an Irish site, you know, subconsciously someone knows that if an ad is on an Irish site, it's associated with that site. And as a result, it's meant for them. And the research shows that people are 8 times more likely to think that it's meant for them simply by advertising on an Irish site. So, I mean, from a media perspective, that's a very good result.
So instead of going cheap and scattergun effect, you're better off to target, spend a bit more.
Yeah, I suppose the idea is not just to make your decision based on price, because, you know, you can advertise in a you know, church newsletter for cheap, but ultimately, is it going to reach the right audience? Is it going to confuse people? Are people going to know that this brand is meant for me? And actually, another piece of research that the Association of Online Publishers commissioned last year also showed that people, by the virtue of trusting, you know, their source of news, also trust the advertising associated with it. So they kind of, there's an implicit trust in the types of brands that end up on, you know, trusted news sources.
So Brian, where do you see your empire then, your distilled empire going?
Honestly, I suppose for most of my focus personally is on the journal at the moment. And we're just, you know, 2.5 years in. It was a 4-year business plan. We're hitting every target. We're actually quite a bit ahead on audience and where we thought it was going to be. And I suppose my entire focus is on getting to year 4 and finally going on a holiday. So that's where my focus is right now.